It is great to see you guys. Take your Bibles real quick, if you would. Go over to 2 Peter. I'll just share before we pray. We had our men's prayer breakfast yesterday. It was wonderful. If you weren't there, a lot of guys, we had like 30 people come the last couple of times. Last time, yesterday was a little less. But we miss you, and we're looking forward to meeting up again. We'll meet right after the holidays. But you can see the pictures. We had a great time, great fellowship, great food. And we hope to see you guys again. And we're just trying to build up ourselves as men to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, praise team, thanks so much for that song, right? Isn't that a beautiful song? Amen. Speak, O Lord. There's a whole lot of voices out there today that are speaking about parenting and kids and what's right and what's wrong. And we need to hear God speak the eternal truths that don't change. And we're going to look at those this morning. So we're going to jump right on into our series. I want to just take a quick minute to pray this morning. That God would just settle our hearts. I know there's a thousand things that you're thinking about today. Just to encourage you guys, the Eagles game isn't until 4, so I have a little bit of time to finish up. So don't worry. Pastor Ansel, who's a Cowboys fan, said he's not worried anyway. He's not worried at all, right? But actually, it's kind of funny. Some of the kids are praying for him that he'd be converted, but it hasn't happened yet. So we're working on that. Let's just go to God. Let's ask God to help us this morning. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, that precious word, Lord, that doesn't change, that gives us hope, gives us truths, Lord, that are unchanging, that are guaranteed to work in the power of your spirit. And I pray, Father God, that you would just speak to our hearts as we continue, Lord, to deal with our parenting series. And Father God, the thoughts and the concepts of this series, Lord, go so far beyond parenting, Lord, to speak to each one of us. And I pray, Lord, today as we deal with just working on this attribute of forming character in our children, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to understand, Father, that that can't happen unless that character is in us first. And I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts now. Take away the distractions. Give me clarity of thought. And, Lord God, help me to just share, Lord, these eternal truths, Lord, in a way that would really captivate us and change us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, we're doing our series on building kingdom homes. Today, what we want to think about this morning is this idea of forming children of character. And I want to say, everybody look up. You know what? The kids, they don't come out with character. At least godly character. So it's a process, and we need to kind of understand what is that process to get there. And I'll throw this out. As a parent, and you guys, many of you are parents out here, it feels like there's an endless number of things to teach our children, doesn't it? You know, we want them to be great at everything. We want them to understand and know things, how to fix this, fix that, how to think about stuff. There are so many things to think about, but the most important thing to teach them is to be men and women of real character. You know, that's the only thing that's really going to endure, and it's an enduring value that is able to be passed on to others, and we hope that, you know, our grandkids and their kids and generations to follow will pick up godly character, and it's passed down that way. So I just want to challenge us. Let's listen to God as he speaks his word to us. I'm going to skip right past this, our eternal truth about building these Christian homes that are stable. And I want to just remind us, right, that, you know, parenting, right, is an intentional, personal process of obedience to God. And God calls us to train our children to seek him, to trust him, and to obey him. I'll skip on down. Get this, right? In all the influences out there, parents are still the key role model for our kids. That doesn't change. And it's our job to model before them character, healthy relationships, an identity in who God's created us, and a life of mission, a selfless service to the world and for the glory of God. And that's so important. And by the way, strong marriages are so important for parenting success. I'm going to stop, and I'll say this again later. You know, our marriage conference is coming up, and a lot of times, you know, we'll see lots of families and lots of kids sort of when the wheels fall off in life, And I want to encourage us in our marriages, let's get together, let's build them now before the wheels come off. You know, one challenge about church is we're here when things go bad. You know, we're kind of like fire engines and fire trucks and fire stations. But there's a limited number of trucks and firefighters. It's so much better to prepare before the things happen and to put God's things in place before it gets bad. And I want to just challenge us for our marriage conference coming up. I think we have about 15 couples now, right, Pastor Ansu? I don't know about you, but now we're grandparents. We're still trying to work on our marriage because that's the foundation. There's no stability in our kids' lives unless we're stable. And I want to encourage you guys, if you haven't signed up, today is sort of the last day. There's a chance we can maybe add some later on coming up. But we want to encourage you guys, really think about that. It's just 24 hours that we're going to spend away down at LBI. But it'll be a chance to give you guys some things to think about and talk about and build on until next year's marriage conference to make us better. So I just encourage you guys. It's so important. So we're going to jump in today. Quick review. The foundations of parenting. You know, how do we figure this out, right? So here's the first one. You know, God's got a perspective on children. God defines parenting. We're looking at the definition. God has some goals for parenting, and God has a plan for parenting. And I want you guys to kind of take these down as we go. Here's the first thing, right? We looked at this last week. I'm going to hit some of these very quickly. But remember this, right? God's perspective on kids is they are gifts. They're a reward. They're a joy. They're a symbol of strength to us as families, and they are a blessing from God. Everybody look up for a second. It breaks my heart when I hear this around church, and I have over many, many years. Sometimes parents say, you know what? I can't wait till they turn 18 and they get out. Right? You heard that before? That's not the goal. The goal is to develop them as men and women of character that are going to carry forth and bring glory to God and be your disciples to the world for Jesus Christ, right? And enjoy those times. Like, by the way, these times are going to pass so quick, so quick. You know, I share my, you know, our grandson, Levi, he's already 4 months old. Like, how can it be? How can that be? Time just goes so quick, right? It goes so fast. And scripture says that, right? Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. So let's kind of keep our perspective on parenting. By the way, everybody look up. I know it's tough. I know sometimes you want to pull out your hair if you got any left. Right? I know it's hard, but let's keep our perspective, right? Second thing real fast is, and I try to spruce these up a little bit this week, thinking about them, putting them in place. Jot these down, right? God has a plan for parenting, and here's the first thing. Number one is plan. Parenting isn't something that we just do on the fly, you know, and kind of, well, what do we do now? I don't know. Let's figure it out. There's some of that indeed that goes on, but let's plan. Parenting is intentional, it's thoughtful, and it's evaluative. In other words, you try, and if it doesn't work, you got to do something different, right? Makes sense, right? So parenting is, and by the way, it's intentional. We got to realize that God's gifted us with these kids, and he's given us a job to do. You know, it's not just a present that we sort of enjoy or, you know, today and don't worry about the rest of the time. Plan. Second thing is God's called us to be providers. We got to meet their basic needs. You know, obviously, what? Food, shelter, those kinds of things, right? But, you know, as parents, the kids, right, they depend on us. They don't drive, most of them, until they get to be 17, 18 years old. Right, they don't drive. You know, they don't maybe think right. They don't do a lot of things without us prompting them to do it. And I want to encourage you guys today. You know what? Your kids won't come to church unless you prompt them to do it. Does that make sense? Like they're not just going to wake up and go, yes, it's Sunday morning. Because there's 1,000 things on TV. There's 1,000 things that are drawing them away. They need your prompting. They need you to say, hey, we are going to church together. Or if it's youth group night, we are going. You know, when it's Sunday school, we are going. Like they need that role model, they need that stability, that strength to say, hey, that's what we're gonna do as a family. We're gonna do that. So we need to meet their basic needs. We need to protect them, physical and emotional health and safety. It's our job to be there for them to pick up the pieces when things fall apart and process with them that God is always faithful in the midst of those things, right? Preparation, and by the way, this is the thing the Bible talks about more than anything else, but the idea of preparation, and we'll look at this more today, training. By the way, write this down. Write down training on your bulletin, and then write this down. Repetition. Teaching is maybe one time. Training is over and over and over. It's like, I throw this out. How many folks go to a gym or try to work out? Okay, a lot of us, all right? Here's the funny thing. If you just do it today and take off the rest of the year, will it be good? No. And the same thing with parenting kids. You can't just train them today and go, okay, you guys are good, because they're not going to be good. They're going to need that additional training. It's repetitive. It just keeps on going. It's iterative. Teaching biblical and eternal values. That's our part of that preparation process. And we're preparing our kids to be adults and to be independent. And we're trying to model before them some important things. Love. You know, your kids, anybody have any kids make a mistake this morning? Be real. We had two kids fighting in the lobby today. And they recited Psalm 23, like word perfect. We really did. Me and Anthony were talking, Jonathan, we're trying to get our heads screwed on for the day, and we hear this thing going on in the lobby, and we're going, what in the world is going on? And the two kids, by the way, they're both boys, and so they're like best friends, but they felt a need to have a knockdown drag out right in the FBC foyer, right? So we got to model to our kids love and forgiveness and obedience to God and grace. By the way, we gave them grace. We didn't say, you're done, because they did Psalm 23, man, amazing, like, right? Praise God for that, you know. And by the way, they're friends now. They'll probably be hanging out the rest of the day. But, you know, they fought a need to do that. So, you know, training is that thing. That word there, training, it's an imperative. And had the idea we share with you in the original language was to rub the palate of the baby with oil that comes from dates in order to get the child to nurse. Like, that's where it came from. So it's kind of like you got to kind of prime the pump. And that's what training is. It's that priming of the pump as we teach our kids. But I'll share the PowerPoint with you guys if you don't have to get this all down. So, you know, as we stop and we think about all these things, right, you know, Scripture gives us a whole bunch of things to about that. And Deuteronomy 6 is one of the greatest passages. I encourage you guys, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Turn there. This is the verse, kind of verse you want to underline in your Bible, because it never stops. By the way, if you're grandparents, great-grandparents, whoever you are, this is the key, right? And the idea is we need to teach our kids these things in a constant way. And look what it says. It says, and I'll pick it up in verse 6. It says, in these words which I command you today. By the way, it's a commandment to train our kids. We can't outsource it. We can outsource some of those things that might help us to do better with training our kids. But ultimately, guess who's responsible? We stand before God. We'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you know, with this thing in mind. And look what it says here. It says, in these words I command you today shall be in your heart. And the idea is, you know what, parents? It's got to be in our heart first, because we can't communicate what we don't know and don't have. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Get that idea of diligence? In other words, it's not just, well, if I get around to it, it's, I'm going to make that a priority in my life. Make it a priority, right? And he says, and you shall talk of them, God's commands, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Everybody look up. What does that mean? That means you're going to be talking about God and his impact and his desire for you and his commands all the time. And I went through this out. I put that word there. Guys, write this word down. Teachable moments. Life is going to give you a lot of teachable moments about the things of God. And many times it is when, I use that phrase, maybe you understand that phrase, when I say when the wheels come off, it's kind of like when things fall apart, right? Those become amazing, teachable moments for our kids. When they fail, when they're hurt, when things don't go their way, when they don't make the team, when this happens or that happens, all of a sudden, God's word becomes really real. And we got to take advantage of those things. So that's the idea. God wants us to teach and to train. And that's so it's an important definition. And you know, I'm going to throw this out. There's think about this idea of parenting. And again, it's so much as important that the parents are the communicators of this. But in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul wrote these words to Timothy. He said, I'll pick it up in verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you. So Paul's kind of going, you know, I see this genuine faith in you, Timothy. But look what he says. But it was first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded it's in you and also. Do you get that idea, by the way? By the way, how many people are grandparents out there today? There's a lot of us. Holy cow, right? There's a lot of us, right? About to throw this out. Isn't that kind of cool that someone down the road is going to see your grandkids and they're going to see the godliness in them and they're going to say, hey, I remember, you know, it was Dennis. I remember your grandpa. You know, and that faith was in him, and he communicated that forward, right? You know, as an example, right? And he says this, he says, but you must continue, he's talking to Timothy now, in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures. By the way, wasn't it amazing how those kids recited those verses? They not only looked good, they were like on point, like boom, 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 right along there. It was amazing, right? And by the way, kids can learn Scripture. At all ages, you saw them. And I want to throw out to you guys, and I said this, you know, parents, our responsibility can't be outsourced, but you know what? There's a village, and the village for raising kids who know God is the church. But I want to throw out to you guys, everybody look up. We can't help if you don't bring them. Right? You know, we're starting all these things up, right? Awana. It starts this Friday, 7 to 9. Think about this deal. Here's a chance for you to have a couple hours on Friday night and give your kids to godly people who want to impart to them the truth of Scripture that will change their life and maybe even save their soul for all of eternity. What a deal. And by the way, there's no charge. It's free. Bring your kids, right? Bring them out. And I'm going to throw this out. Here's our plug. We want to start children's Sunday school. We need 10 teachers. We have 5 different groupings of children. So we need 5, but we want to have a backup or a buddy who's going to be there in case, you know, someone's away, someone's sick, whatever, right? We need 10 people to stand up. Pastor Ansu and I and Nicole, this week we kind of went through the church phone book. We came up with about 35 names. And I want to challenge you. Are you going to be one of those people that are going to step up and help parents to make eternal, significant changes in the life of their kids? Could you be one of those 10 people, right? And it's every Sunday. It's an hour of your time and a little bit of prep time during the week. But I encourage you, man, what a lasting legacy we can see in our children, right? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could just see up, you know, by the way, Pastor Ansel, I'm waiting for the teens to come on up and recite Psalm 23 like that. Right? And you know, but it gets harder as they get older, right? But let's invest in those things, right? You know, we can't outsource it as parents, but we can jump on board and be a help to not only our kids, but the other kids too. And I just want to encourage you to think about that. So there is a plan. God has this plan and this idea of parenting. So jot these things down real fast. Here's what God wants us to do, to accomplish. And the first thing, here's God's plan for parenting. He wants us to focus on character. He wants us to teach our kids about healthy relationships. Love, forgiveness, grace, humility. How do healthy relationships work? By the way, those are the things that are the oil and the lubrication to healthy relationships that work throughout the seasons of life. Identity. We'll cover that in a couple of weeks, but you know what? Our kids, we want our kids to be who God created them to be. And by the way, that's their gender, that's everything else. Who did God create them to be? That's who we want them to develop and become. And we want to help them answer all the questions and all the challenges that surround all of those things. And we'll talk about that. Not today. We want to have kids that are on a mission. And by the way, the mission isn't just to satisfy their own selfish desires and get as much money and as much fame and as much, you know, fun as they can have. But the mission is to have a godly life that is selfless and is purposeful and matters to God for all of eternity. That's the kind of kids we want. We don't want just selfish kids who never get enough of everything we give them. We want kids that can step out from that and be different and be God's kids. So that's the goals, right? Kind of just ponder those for a quick second this morning. We hit that real fast at the end last week. And I want to ask you, there's kind of a plan for this. You know, God, praise God, God didn't leave us here hanging and wondering how in the world are we going to do this without any resources. And God's given us a firm foundation of himself and the word of God. And now everything else changes. God's word is not changing. You know, we can try and reinterpret it, but we got to go back and say, what does God's word say? What did God mean? And we know he didn't change his mind because he says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? God doesn't change. God says, I change not. Everybody think about this. We said it last week, but I want to say it with a repetition today. Focus on the heart and the motivation of your kids. And we embellished that last week. You know, a lot of times we focus on the results. How good did they do in school? Those are all good things. We want them to do well. But don't just focus on that. Focus on their heart and teach them the character qualities that are going to help them in whatever they do for the rest of their lives. Third thing is this. Strong parental role models that are growing. Think about that. You know, where are they going to learn about God? And some people ask that question. They say, where are kids going to learn about sex in the street? Does that make any real sense? They got to learn that from parents, right? I don't mean just sex. I mean everything, right? It's got to come from strong parental role models that continue to grow. In other words, we as parents, a lot of times we're going to mess it up. We're going to yell and holler and discipline, you know, in the wrong time, in the wrong way, with the wrong spirit. We're going to do all those things. And our kids need to see, you know what? We mess up too. And when we mess up, we confess it to God and we do the right thing going forward. Strong parental role models, right? And I said it, you know, just a minute ago, we need strong marriages that provide security and stability. You know, God designed the home to be a husband and a wife. Together, loving God, raising up children to his glory. I'm going to throw this out. Some of you guys are going, by the way, that's uncomfortable for a lot of us, right? Maybe you've been involved, maybe you've been divorced, or some kind of thing has happened in your family, tragedy, you lost a spouse. I'll throw this out. There's sort of a plan B to this, and here's a plan B. Reach out to the village and other people who can help you. I'll use an example. For a lot of moms that maybe are single moms, it's hard to model for your sons what it looks like to be a godly man. Reach out to a mentor who loves God and who knows God and have them partner with you in modeling those things. And I want to throw out to us, church, everybody look up for a second. You know, there's a lot of godly men, a lot of godly grandfathers and great-grandfathers in this congregation who can model for our kids what it looks like to be a godly man. And I'll throw this out. If you're a single dad, there's a lot of great grandmothers and beyond here in our church, too, who can model what it means to be a woman of God at every stage of life. Right? That's what God's talking about. We need those kinds of things. So, by the way, if you had sin affects everything, doesn't it? Doesn't it mess up everything? It messes up marriages, too. But praise God, there's hope in the body. Because God knew how things were going to go, and he understands the impact and the long-term ramifications of sin. That's why God gave us each other to help out. Okay? Let's go on. So kind of get those things in your mind. So check this out. By the way, wouldn't this be a great goal for us as parents? It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Wouldn't it be great if you had a son or a daughter like that? And by the way, look what God says. It says, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And I'll throw out, if we raise godly kids, God's way, using God's plan and God's tools, and work together as the body of Christ to do that, that's the kind of kids we're going to end up with. And guys, remember that the song, by the way, it said, one of the songs we just sang talked about precious promises. Isn't that a precious promise right there? It's not going to be easy, but there's a promise that God gives us that's really worth it, isn't it? It's really a way to go. So we want to think about that. So let's talk about character. We're going to jump in. The formation of character. We said that's one of the most important things, right? Let's talk about some four things about forming character. Here's the first thing. What is character? You hear people say, man, he's a character. You know, what does it mean to have formed character? How do you measure character? How do you measure that? We'll talk about that. And by the way, write this down. Real character is the sum of all the elements that identify us. Write that down. Keyword is, it's the sum. It's not any one thing. And we'll expound on that in a quick second. Developing character is a process. And there's a price, and there's a process that goes with it. And then we'll talk about the path forward. So we're going to jump in right now. By the way, we can do this in just about maybe 5 minutes past our 12:30 time. So we're going to hit it right now. Here's the first thing. And this is scripture we read today, right? Moses read it so well. And just look at that first line. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So everybody look up. Here's what he's talking about. You know, we want to grow in the faith, our faith in Christ. We need faith to do that, right? We need faith to live this life. But we want to add something to it. Character. Virtue is that. A godliness, a sense of character in our lives. And some of you guys are going, now this parenting series is going on and on. It is. You know why it's so important? But I'll throw this out. We as adults need to have character. When Peter wrote this down, he wasn't just talking to kids. He was saying, all you as Christians, to your faith, add virtue. And to your virtue, add knowledge, add self-control, all these character qualities. Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He says, add those in. And I want to challenge us. We never stop doing this. We never stop growing. We never stop building and adding on to what God has already built. And that's kind of the idea here. So get that in our minds, right? And I'll throw this out. It's so important because, remember I said this a minute ago? You know what? Character is eternal. A lot of things you're going to invest your time and your money into now are pretty temporary. And look what he says here in Timothy. Paul wrote this to Timothy. But he says, and pick up verse 7, he says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. In other words, like when you go to the gym, you can't watch everybody on the treadmill and go, man, that's really cool. I feel so much better. Right? Or you can't get the weights out, or watch everyone else on the weight rack. You know, and you sit down. A lot of gyms have this, by the way. They have like a lounge now so you could get like a latte. But when you go to the gym, the idea is exercise yourself. Not with lattes, but with the equipment that's there, right? And he says this in here. He says, we got to exercise ourselves toward godliness. And here's why. He says, for bodily exercise profits, and a better way to translate this is for a little while. You know, I want to encourage you guys. You know, our health is important. Everything you do on this earth is going to happen in this body. No matter what size it is, how it feels, everything's going to happen in his body. So bodily exercise is profitable while you're here on earth. But look what he says. but godliness is profitable for all things. Having a promise of the life now that is, and of that which is to come. So if we put character in our kids, it's going to be an enduring value that will pay dividends for all of eternity and into the lives of their kids and so forth. So we got to understand that. So critical, right? First Timothy is so clear. So here's the question. So let's define, what is character? You know, not just saying that guy's a character. Yeah, he's funny, he's this, he's that. But what is character? And here's the idea. Character is this, break this down, moral excellence, and don't miss this word, strength. And I'll tell you why I say that. So character is mental and moral qualities, honesty, ethics, charity or love, integrity. And here's the idea of strength, by the way. In other words, if you have that character quality, even though temptation is pushing on you, people are pushing on you to do the wrong thing, when you are a person of character, you're still going to have the strength to not do the wrong thing. And likewise, positively, to do the right thing. Right? That's the idea. That's what character is. And you know, the idea of moral, right? You know, moral is a sense of doing the right thing. I'll throw this out. Morality in our world is a changing target. Morality in Scripture is very strong and doesn't change. But this idea of mental and moral qualities. And it derives kind of from an English word and a French word. And the idea is this about character. It is a distinctive mark or symbol. I mean, think about that. So, like, if you're an honest guy, it sticks out, doesn't it? If you're a dishonest guy, it sticks out too. You know, and people love to criticize those things. You know, it's a mark of godliness and spiritual maturity. You know, like being a bad character is a mark of immaturity. Having good character is a mark of you understand how life really works and that there's a God who you're going to answer to. Right? That's the difference, right? There's doubt. Character is easily recognized, and it's also easily criticized when it's absent. Isn't it? You see it. Like, we look at our politicians, we go, are you kidding? You know, there's the guy from New York, right? He's right name. He didn't go to any of the colleges he said. He didn't do any of the things he said. I mean, it's kind of like, for real? Like, is that the guy, you know, I want to support? Is that the guy I want voting for me and determining what is going to be my benefits and my, you know, what I have to give? It doesn't make sense, right? It's easily recognized and criticized if absent. And here's the key thing. It can be developed through training and testing. What I mean by testing? The development of our character, right? Testing develops our character. You know, and you know, we read that in many passages, like in Peter, right? You know, the testing of our faith, you know, our faith is really developed as it is tested, and our character is too. So kind of get that down. That defines what character is, right? So here's the question. And Chris, help me. I think I'm a little stuck. I'm not sure if it's me or you, but take me down. There we go. This passage, by the way, is so very good. And by the way, it is not Proverbs 22:6. It's actually Psalm 15:1-5. I encourage you to read it, but it says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and who works righteousness, who speaks the truth in his heart and does not backbite with his tongue. You get this idea? This is a person who's real, who's godly. And even when he's attacked, he's not viciously attacking back. He said, nor does he do evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Like, just write that passage down. Not Proverbs 22:6, that's train up a child. But this passage is Psalm 15:1-5. Jot that down.
We read it this morning. It's called the worship.
You did. Thank you. You did. And I came in late, so I missed that part. Amen to that. Good passage, right? So we're going to skip on down. Go down, Chris.
So this idea of character and whatnot, how to measure it is, check this out. Look at Proverbs. It says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. So that the idea of integrity in my character is going to be a guide. And that's what we want to raise in our kids, right? We want our kids, by the way, here's news, just in case you didn't hear it. You're not going to be with your kids your whole life. Or their whole, and you might be saying, amen, praise God. But you're not going to be with them every moment, right? So we got to teach them how to discern truth from error and right from wrong and what God wants and what God doesn't, right? What's wise and what's foolishness. And that's kind of the idea. And I'm going to throw this out. You want to see a role model to that? Think about Daniel. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And I'm going to throw this out. Don't we, like, as church people, we hold up Daniel and we go, that guy has character. And he was living in a farm place. Mom or dad weren't there. He could have did anything he wanted to promote himself, to save his life and do all those things. And he didn't do any of those things. He stood on the character that was instilled in him by his parents and by his God throughout his life. And by the way, God protected him through multiple other heathen rulers that were over him. He outlived them. When they were killed and they were attacked by their enemies, they kept Daniel on board. Go figure, right? It's unbelievable, right? Think about that. So Daniel's a good example of that. Measuring character. Go back, Chris, if you would, real quick. Measuring character. Remember I said it's the sum of our disposition, our thoughts, our intentions, our desires, our words, and our actions. And get this in our minds, right? It is not being good once in a while, but consistently. And I'll just tell you real quick. 1 Samuel 13:14, remember God was so angry at Saul. You know, God preached on that passage, right? God was so angry at Saul because Saul said, yeah, I kept God's word, but he really didn't. And God said, I want somebody who's a man after my own heart who does what I really say fully, right? In Psalm 78, look what it says about David. It says, David shepherded them, his people, according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. That's what we want to see in our kids, that the integrity of their heart guides their lives, right? And then Job, and I'll just speak about it real quick. Remember God said to Satan as he getting ready to tempt Job, he said, look at Job. He's a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. That's what character does, right? That's how you recognize and measure character, right? It's not one time thing, it's an all everyday, all of life thing. You see real character come out like a diamond, right? You see it. So we'll move on for a second. How do you measure that? And I'll throw this out. That was sort of the good side of character, right? David, Job. The bad side sticks out too. You guys remember a guy named Ahab? He had a beautiful, wonderful wife, Jezebel. Yeah, that is a joke, right? They were evil together. They were terrible, right? And he was the worst king in Israel that Israel ever experienced. Look what God said about him. And this is why lifelong. This isn't a one-time event. I'll throw this out, by the way. There's another scripture. The day he died, he fought for Israel to defend the nation. But that one event did not define his character. His whole life did. And this is what God said. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Think about that. His sin, if you added up all the kings before them, by the way, none of them were good kings in Israel. They were all wicked. They were all idolatrous. This guy, he was worse than all of them put together, and God said that. That is not the kid we want to birth and raise up, right? That is not the kid we're looking for. So we can measure character. It sticks out. It's really obvious, and it's all about the sum total of our lives. So get this in your mind. We're almost finished. Developing character. Everybody look up. By the way, Jesus said this. He said, no one goes to war without counting the cost. Parents, grandparents, we're in a war and we got to count the cost. And I'll throw this out. It's real. It's not going to change unless Jesus comes back. This is what it is, right? So, and by the way, Proverbs says this, correct your son and he'll give you rest. Yes, he will give you delight to your soul. So you got to discipline. You got to correct him, and it's going to be a delight to you ultimately, but it's a little tough in the meantime. Here's what it's going to take. Everybody get this in your mind. This is what, by the way, when you decided to have that kid, this is what you signed up for and I signed up for. And then the grandkids, they come on board and nothing changes. It's the same thing. But here's what it is. It will take, write it down, time. It's going to take time. It's going to take you to invest your time when you don't want to invest anymore. But it's going to take time. It's going to take your money. And I want to challenge you again, and as I watch things go on at church, you know what? Invest in your kids. Send them to camp. Buy them a Bible. Buy them their books. Buy their uniforms. Because those things will ultimately help them to grow and be like Jesus.
Amen.
The other things that we spend our money on, you know, the coffee, whatever else we spend it on, it's just for a moment. Mm. But we got to prioritize our lives, our finances, our time toward raising up kids that know God, that love God, and are going to try to do the right thing in God's power by His Spirit, right? I'll throw this out. As we try to develop character in our kids, it's going to be messy at times. Some of you guys are saying, amen, preacher, preach it. Mm. Right? It might be messy all the time, but it's messy, right? You're going to get into stuff you don't want to get into. They're going to disobey. They're going to get in trouble. You're going to meet people that you never wanted to meet. Maybe the police, others. All that stuff is going to go on. But keep your eye on the target that we're raising godly kids. Right? Amen. Right? It's going to go on. It's going to require the development of our own character.
Amen.
And I threw these things down, abbreviation. Message. What in the world is FOTS? Glorious gum. People are asking, what is that? Fruit of the Spirit. Right? You're going to need a whole lot of patience and perseverance to raise up these kids. Right? Fruit of the Spirit and every other thing. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and self-control. If we don't have it, it's going to be hard to pass that on. If we don't have it, we might lose our minds in the process of parenting. So we got to develop those things. We got to develop our own godliness. Like, we got to be people of character so we can pass it on. We got to be people that obey God to pass it on. Like, and I remember we said this last week. You know, we can't say, do as I say, not as I do. That's just foolishness, right? We can't say that. We got to develop our faith. Everybody look up. All, a lot of us have kids that have had challenges. It's faith in God and His power and the work of His Spirit and His Word that gets us through those battles. We got to develop those things, right? And, you know, it will be your greatest investment. Oh, I mean, it'll pay off great. I'll throw this out. Everybody look up real fast. When y'all get really old, older than any of you who are still here in the congregation, and you look back on life, and if your kids are doing the right things and bringing glory to God, won't it be worth it? On the flip side, if you did everything else and you look back at that stage when you're an old man or old woman and can't change anything else anymore, won't it be so sad that we didn't invest in our kids? Right? That's the key. So what do we got to do? Here it is. Here's the steps. 7 things. I had 6, I said. There's got to be one more, and there is. Here it is, right? What we got to do? We talked about this, right? We got to teach and train. And I said this, by the way. Train them to know God and His Word. Not just know the Bible, but know God. And by the way, that's my prayer for myself, my family, and for you. Let's just not know God's Word, and God says this, and God says that, but let's know God personally. Teach our kids to do that, right? And remember, by the way, you need this first, but there's help in the village, right? The church. So we're going to, as parents, we're going to teach them, we're training. Everybody look up. Let's use the resources that we have. Let's get Sunday school going. Let's use it. Let's use Awana. Let's use youth ministry. Let's use the old men who are in church who know God and can really rub off on our kids. Let's use them. Let's use the old women who know that same thing. Let's use them. Let's work together as the body of Christ, to develop our kids because they're our kids. Right? That's the idea. Teach and train. Real quick, there's the next one. Know your children. And I use this phrase, no cookie cutter discipline. You know what that means? It means what works on your first kid probably don't work on the second one. And I use an example. Real fast, right? Your first kid, and maybe your first kid is like, you know, just super obedient, wants to do what you do, wants to please you, all those kind of things. You know, you say to them, go to your room. And they're like, no! Right? I'll do anything, just don't send me there. Your second kid, maybe they're more introverted. You send them to their room, they're like, hallelujah. I'm bringing out the games and I'm going to have a great time, right? Know your kids. You know your kids. They're different. We got to kind of know what makes them tick. And I'll throw this out. You got to find out as we discipline our kids what gets their attention and what doesn't. And let me make one important caution. Don't discipline them by taking away church. Right? Don't do that. You can maybe take away an activity. Hey, the youth group's going to bowling. Sorry, buddy, you ain't going. But don't take away youth group where they're going to hear the word of God and be confronted with how ugly their sin is. Amen. Don't do that. Right? Know your kids. Don't cookie cutter discipline them. Here's the next one. Pray. Pray now. Pray tomorrow. Pray the next day. Pray until Jesus calls you home, because only God can make the change. Only God can change their heart. Right? That's the only one who can do it. Pray. You know, we read passages. 1 Thessalonians 5, Philippians 4. Just, you know, you guys know them. Go over that. Here's one that's hard to say. And 1 Chronicles 29:17 says this, that the Lord tests the heart. Sometimes, you know what we got to do? We got to suffer with our kids so that they learn. Romans 5:4, Proverbs 17. Sometimes we got to go through the ugliness with them and don't give up on them. Don't throw them out the wayside. We got to stay with them and suffer with them so they make it through. They need a guide. They need someone who's going to say, we can do this with God's help. We're going to get through. We're going to make it. Suffer with them. And then the next thing is this, apply. And I want to share with you, I thought this was so good. I read this, not mine, though. It was so good. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this, that, you know what? Implying this, we have to control our thoughts and teach our children to control their thoughts. You know, there's not too many actions that begin without thoughts or words either. So we got to teach them that their heart and their mind is something they got to keep. And that's really the next thing, is that they got to guard their hearts. Proverbs 4:23, right, says that, right? It says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life, right? We got to apply that all the time, right? The next thing, as we move down, Matthew chapter 15, right? And Matthew 15 is the same idea about guarding your heart, but here's the thought. A lot of times we'll look at the words of people and understand this. Remember, what comes out of your mouth has its beginning in your heart. Right? It really does, right? So we got to understand that and keep doing that. Here's a good thing, too, for your kids. You want to teach them and apply these issues. Teach them to have good friends. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, right? It just talks about the fact that bad friends cause evil to develop. Right? They did, right? So you look, I remember going to a conference with youth at Burlington Township School, and it was an ex-NFL player that was there, and he said this. He says, look at your friends, and that will be you. Help your kids to pick good friends. I'm going to throw out to you guys, too. How can you help that? Get them to church with all the other people that you know whose kids and whose parents have the same idea and the same goal, and try to connect them together. Will it be perfect? No. But it's better than having them, their best friends are taking them all over God's creation in the wrong direction. Right? Teach him about good company. Finally, I want to encourage you guys this. This process of training and working on character, it's all about perseverance. Pray and never stop. You know, go to your friends in church if you got problems. Ask for help. Do all the things you need to do, but make sure you don't stop. The result will be worth every sacrifice that you make and that I make. Amen? We're going to stop, and we're going to pray, and we are not going to sing because it's 12:45. So let's just take a moment and pray. Father God, I want to thank you today, Lord, for your word. I want to thank you, Lord, for the principles, Lord, that you give us about it. Father, there is nothing too hard for you. Parenting seems too hard for us. But I pray, dear God, that you would help us to develop the character in our students. Lord, I pray that your conviction, Lord, would work in us, Lord, to develop stronger marriages, to take advantage, Lord, of the resources that the body of Christ affords to us. Father, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would just convict us too, Lord, that we would grow, that we would actually apply the truths first in our own lives and then teach it to our students and our kids. Father, I just ask that you would just work in us, Lord, to take this and understand it and apply it, Lord, in a real way in these days ahead. Father, we know some of this is new, some of this is challenging, some of it's overwhelming, but Lord God, I pray that you would give us the perseverance that we need to raise up our kids, Lord, to be men and women of character who will raise men and women of character after them. And Lord, I just want to pray all these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.